So it's all in here, and a lot of this is from the work of David Burns. He's got a book called The Feeling Good Handbook. You can get it for one penny on Amazon.com because he sold a million copies of his book, and there are so many used ones available. So it would be one penny plus postage from Amazon. It's a good book. It's kind of the flagship book on the cognitive behavioral treatment of depression, procrastination, and things like that. And so he's identified cognitive distortions, and these would be things that conduce to kind of depressive episodes or really knocking you for a loop when you're trying to change. I'm not going to go through all of them, but all or nothing thinking, you know, I had one cigarette probably means I'm going to smoke for the rest of my life. No, you've had one cigarette. Can you recommit to your program? Discounting the positive. If you're really immersed in a depressive process, it's hard for you to own up to the positive things in your life. Magnification. You're exaggerating all the negativity things and minimizing the positivity things. Living with shoulds. A lot of us will use our mind as a goad versus our feelings. And I think we're seeing some of the limitations of just using thinking. I mean, feelings are really, really important. The classic place I run into that is with clients who come in and we'll talk about what I call the resume relationship. And that is, here's this person on paper. This should be a great relationship. I should want to get engaged to this person. I should want to do this. I even like them. But there's something not there. But I should. Most of the times when I've seen people pursue should relationships, it gets very problematic. We can't really should ourselves into. Now, of course, in India, there were arranged marriages, and that was a should relationship, but it's a whole other set of cultural expectations, and I mean, it's an interesting issue, but we don't, in our culture, hold by that style of engaging in a relationship, but some people still do it. Then there are counters to these kind of things, which these will interfere with our attempts to make personal change. It's very, very useful to identify cognitive distortions, because if you can even identify what you seem to be immersed in, it will give you a little bit of distance from the distortion. And if you can create a little bit of distance from the distortion, you will have a little bit of freedom from the distortion. So if you have enough mindfulness to recognize that you've got a thought that says, I can't write a book, which is pretty black and white thinking, but enough mindfulness and awareness to know that's just a thought and it's a distortion, you can go on writing. But if you don't have that awareness or mindfulness or the identification of that, that's a distorted mode of thinking, you will be identified with it and you will not write a book. If you're really negative with yourself, can you, at least yourself, or find a friend to say something compassionate, empathic, supportive to you yourself? A lot of us have difficulties with that. Thinking in shades of gray. So earlier we had, you know, what is confidence? What is kindness? What is compassion? A shade of gray is, when am I more confident? When am I less confident? If we want to figure out what 100% confidence is, might be impossible for us. We want to know 100% kindness or compassion, might be impossible. But I'm more compassionate when I look at a seeing eye dog than at a Burmese cat that we're trying to catch and take to get fixed. Yeah, we have a difference of experience. We can say, yeah, I feel more compassionate for the dog, the seeing eye dog, than that Burmese cat that wants to take my eyes out. That's real. That's, you know, very heartfelt discrimination, what kindness feels like. We can use others to help us get some reality testing. You know, I think everybody hates me. Help me out here. No, everybody really thinks very highly of you. Cost benefits analysis. Look at your feelings, thoughts, or behavior. Yeah, I want to drink 15 drinks a night. I've had 2 DWIs. One more, and I'll never drive the rest of my life. And I might have some kind of felonious event in my history. You know, do you want to do that or you don't want to do that? How dangerous does that feel? You know, I've heard some of you talking about, you know, behaviors that you feel have impacts on other people. That's great. You have your behaviors. You have the impact. How seriously do you want to think about that? And what do you want to do about it? And it's a struggle. So just because we realize that, you know, we tend to hiccup when people talk, doesn't mean we're going to be able to stop hiccuping tomorrow. We might have to do a lot of contemplation, a lot of thinking, a lot of science to learn how to stop hiccuping. Or maybe pulling on our beards or the equivalent. You know, some women like to pull their hair. Some people find that crazy making. So, you know, there we are. And, you know, I'm pulling on my hair. Maybe I would do it. I have enough hair to do it with. So you're talking to me, I'm pulling on my hair. And you say, I hate it when you pull on your hair, Harvey. And the other person says, I hate it when you pull on your hair. And notice, just so comfortable pulling on my hair. It's not trivial. There are some, you know, people, I'm sure you know some one woman who does this. If I do, you do. And it must drive some of their friends crazy. Is that enough to cause them to change? Or the equivalent. We all have our equivalent. Smoking, drinking, being late, forgetting appointments, forgetting our phone, whatever.
If you enjoyed this teaching, please visit our website, donmountain.org, to subscribe to this course and find other great Dharma offerings. May all beings always have happiness and its causes. May all beings always be free of pain and its causes.